look up at the night sky or peer into the impossible depths of the quantum vacuum, and you are staring at a single element that commands 3/4 of the known universe, hydrogen. It is the primordial firstborn of creation, the baseline atom from which every star, planet, and strand of human DNA was eventually forged. But if you talk to the renegades operating on the fringes of physics, they will tell you that hydrogen is a ghost. It is an element that defies human containment, slipping through solid steel and seemingly popping into and out of existence within the vacuum of space. Hydrogen might just be the molecule closest to God, as this element sits precisely on the razor-thin border where raw cosmic energy condenses into physical matter. But what happens when you take this cosmic ghost molecule, supercharge it with bioavailable electrons, and introduce it to a modern biological system? What happens when the fundamental building block of the universe meets a human body working to overcome the vascular strain, metabolic stress, and environmental tax of modern life? We aren't just talking about a gas today. We are talking about the fourth state of water, a selective antioxidant capable of rewiring cellular communication, and an independent inventor who has spent decades unlocking its secrets. Joining us today is George Moult Wiseman, a legendary researcher, a brilliant independent inventor, and the visionary creator of the AquaCure device, which I started using just a few weeks ago. You can see it sitting behind me. He has dedicated his life to pioneering Brown's gas for human longevity, vitality, and cellular rejuvenation. I'm Jonathan Roseland with Limitless. George's company, Eagle Research, is the exclusive sponsor of this episode. Thanks to them, there are no annoying ads interrupting this conversation. Listen till the end. That's where I explain why this sort of exclusive sponsorship is the highest integrity business model for doing what we do here. George, welcome to the Limitless podcast.
It's very good to be here, and with a fellow who does amazing research as well. Like many of the interviewers I do, like they just kind of skim the surface, but you dived deep. I'm really appreciating that.
And I'm going to continue to plumb those depths. So some of the evidence for the AquaCure device is pretty mind-blowing, and we're going to delve into it here. I'm talking about health transformations reported and documented, lives saved and dramatically improved in a lot of cases. And I'm thinking, George, that some of this is going to be like a discussion that I want to put in a private podcast, and where we can like delve more into like some tangential weirdness of the inventions that you've pursued. I'm going to actually direct people after they listen to this one to get the, there's going to be a secret podcast, and I'm going to have that linked up below wherever people are watching or listening to this one. Yeah, this is like, there's really a rabbit hole here that people are going to want to delve into. And I'm not sure if it's all stuff that I want to like that we could put out there on a public feed. First question, what really happened to the Hindenburg, the German Zeppelin that went down in flames in 1937, and it took the whole burgeoning airship industry with it?
Yes, that was quite amazing. So the Germans, as you know, had transatlantic, well, actually worldwide flights with these Hindenburg machine, with type dirigibles or Zeppelins or huge airships that were supported by hydrogen. Now, interestingly enough, a little side note is that another light gas is helium, and the Americans had the monopoly on helium. So the Germans pretty much had to use hydrogen, which is a lighter gas, but if you mix it with air, it's potentially explosive. Now, the Hindenburg syndrome meant that a lot of research involving hydrogen for everything, we're talking powering vehicles and fuel cells and all kinds of things like that, was pretty much suppressed for decades after that because of this disaster that was caught on television when television was young. So people like, whoa, it's like the war of the worlds, only real. And so what actually happened was something as simple as static electricity. Now, there were lots of theories on where it was sabotage or things like that. But when it came right down to it, the analysis said what happened was the mooring tower, like the dirigibles would come up to and moor on the top of a tower so that it was still floating in air, and then they would put the people from the gondola down onto the ground. But what happened was when it touched the mooring tower, static electricity, because the dirigible had a different potential than the mooring tower, sparked. And there must have been just a little gas leak, a little hydrogen around somewhere that was mixed with air. And it started the combustion, and the skin of the dirigible was combustible. It was made in an aluminum type fabric. So that started a burn, which burned through into the gas bags, and the hydrogen started to vent, mix with air, and then burn. But hydrogen burns up as it goes out. There was no explosion because the hydrogen itself wasn't mixed with air, with oxygen. So the flames went up dramatically. Like, we're talking, this is a huge ship, as big as a freight line, ocean-going ships kind of thing. So anyway,
it was as big as the Titanic. Lengthwise. Yeah. It was about the same length as the Titanic.
Yeah, it was huge. So it was dramatic. Now, most of the people that died actually leaped to their deaths from the gondola. The people that stayed in the gondola until it settled, because as the hydrogen vented, the whole dirigible started to float down to the ground. The ones that waited until they could jump safely, they survived. They jumped and ran away. So I don't remember if it was 60 or 100 people or something survived, but they're the ones that waited until it was safe to jump off and run away, because all the heat and everything was going upward. But it was so dramatic that it just made hydrogen, for any type of hydrogen experimentation for decades, it just suppressed everything, because it's called the Hindenburg syndrome. In any case, I'm very happy that people are now willing to experiment with hydrogen, because it's amazing, absolutely incredible molecule.
You subscribe much to the theories that the destruction of the Hindenburg was kind of, that it was like planned, that it was the perhaps it was like the U.S. government wanted to destroy it because they wanted to discredit hydrogen, or because the Hindenburg was the edifice of the Nazi ideology that we were competing with on the world stage at the moment. Or do you think it really was just an accident?
I do lean toward it was just an accident, but there is some evidence that that goes toward the sabotage thing. For example, the actual flames started in the rear of the, not where the tower touched, but more toward the rear of the Hindenburg. So it could have been either way.
researching hydrogen, I got distracted for at least 45 minutes looking at Google images of Zeppelins. They're pretty amazing. I will recommend that people do that. Just go and look at pictures of Zeppelins, the interior cross sections of Zeppelins. They're pretty amazing.
Yeah, the technology. The Germans were far ahead of most of the world in a lot of these different technologies. Their U-boats, their Zeppelins, all of this technology. It was absolutely astonishing, the German technology.
Okay, so switching gears to hydrogen as a healing modality. You've called hydrogen the essential macro nutrient, but not knowing more about it, if hydrogen is the most common element in the universe, why are most modern humans deficient in it?
That's a broad question. Okay, so to answer the actual question, why are humans most deficient, has to do with where we get our hydrogen from. We can't just inhale it in the air like we can oxygen. Now, I have cannulas on right now for those people that are viewing it, and I'm actually inhaling Brown's gas as we speak. So I'm not just an invalid. I'm actually in really good health, much better health than I was decades ago, in fact. But so where we get our hydrogen from, if we're not supplementing it like I am right now, is our food. Our food is hydrocarbons. So it's hydrogen and carbon that are bound together with an atomic bond energy. And to break that bond takes a lot of energy, a lot of power, except if you can put in some catalysts and enzymes and stuff. So we chew our food, masticate it, and put in some enzymes and drop it into an acid bath to further prepare it. And then it goes into our lower intestine with bile from our liver and stuff, and microorganisms start to work on it. So by the time it gets to our colon, our large intestine, it's ready for the bacteria, the specialized bacteria that actually then, after all this enzymes and catalysts and preparation, can break that bond and put the hydrogen directly into our bloodstream through the walls of our colon. But if those bacteria aren't there, and most of the world now is deficient in those bacteria, then that bond doesn't get broken as efficiently as it should, and we become hydrogen deficient. And if we're like, our bodies are 62% hydrogen, 24% carbon, 24% oxygen, 12% carbon, and 2% everything else. So when the nutritionists are talking about zinc and magnesium and potassium and copper and iron and all these things, that's all part of the 2%. The 62% is our major macronutrient, and it's hydrogen. And we'll get into why it's so important, but that's where we get it from. We get it from our food if our digestive system is working correctly. Most people are not. So they get various diseases, hydrogen deficiency diseases that we're discovering. Like, there's over 2,000 studies now of hydrogen for health. And if you're deficient in hydrogen, it's been shown that the body starts shutting down extraneous systems that aren't immediately life-threatening. The body knows how to stay alive. Like, if you're out in the cold and you get hypothermia, the body will start shutting down blood flow to your extremities to prevent, or to keep the core temperature up. So anatomically, the body knows to shut things down. The first thing it shuts down is your regeneration systems and stem cells and things like that, because it's not immediately life-threatening. But then you age faster. And then if you still don't have enough hydrogen, it shuts down your immune systems. So you get sick easier. And don't heal as fast. And if you still don't have enough hydrogen, your organs will start to fail and you'll die. So hydrogen is absolutely essential to our health, not only just for health, but for biohacking and optimal health, like optimized, like the athletes are using to go faster, stronger, think better as they're doing their various things.
So hydrogen is one of these things that it doesn't directly cure anything. It doesn't directly enhance anything. What it does is it empowers the body to reach optimal homeostasis of maintaining all systems at as close to 100% as possible.
There are a few things that hydrogen does directly, like in the mitochondrial, it's directly influenced in making the ATP, which is the fuel for energy in the cells. So it's important that way, but you're absolutely correct in virtually everything else. Hydrogen is just like a brick. It's a building block. It's a bit of nutrition that doesn't do anything by itself. It's like if you have a pile of bricks, you need three things to be healthy. You need your nutrition, you need energy, and you need intelligence. So if you have a pile of bricks, you want to make a brick wall, you need intelligence of the mason to grab the brick and the energy to move it to where it's supposed to be and put it where it's supposed to be. So hydrogen works like that in your body. And hydrogen is part of every, either directly or indirectly, part of every chemical a thing that goes on in the body. So it's not only a building brick, but everything that's also happening. And so it's important to have, I guess I should just end it right there because I wanted to go over into EZ-Gel and stuff, but we won't write for just right now.
So I know that you spend like hours every day inhaling the Brown's gas. Is there not an issue caused by the excessive intake of oxygen? They say that the dose makes the poison, right? And with most supplements, if you take 100 milligrams of caffeine, then it makes you kind of awesome. If you take 5 grams of caffeine, it makes you kind of dead in most cases. So with hydrogen, how does the body manage an excess of hydrogen?
That's a really good question. And it falls back onto a study that the Japanese did. The Japanese are obsessed with longevity, appropriately so, in my opinion. And so they studied groups of people, like families of people who lived over 100 years old, and families of people who lived like in their 50 or 60 years or something like that and died young. And they found the one major common denominator was in the families of long-lived people, they had excess hydrogen coming out their breath. Because what happens is the blood can only hold just so much gas, be it carbon dioxide or oxygen, or in this case, hydrogen as well. And if it gets more than that threshold, then you simply exhale any excess. So there's literally no way that you can get hypoxia or not enough oxygen. Your excess hydrogen and carbon dioxide just gets exhaled. So as far as oxygen goes, because Brown's gas is a mixture of hydrogen and oxygen, and there's people out there that say, oh, it's 33% oxygen and we only inhale 21% oxygen at sea level, so you'll get too much oxygen. But they don't stop and think that we're actually only inhaling at 2% hydrogen, which means 3% of the Brown's gas, because 1% of what you're inhaling is oxygen. And that 1%, that hydrogen-oxygen mixture, is only replacing a nitrogen-oxygen mixture that you would normally be inhaling anyway. So the difference between the amount of, in that 1% of oxygen, the difference is only 12%. So 12% of the 1% is all the extra oxygen that you're getting. So you can't really use it as oxygen supplementation like most people would use these kind of cannulas for. It's really like if you're breathing 21% oxygen. I just looked at the math this morning. I was answering another question on YouTube, and the math works out to 21.003%. So that 0.003% extra oxygen is all you get. So it doesn't give you any extra oxygen. It's like taking two extra breaths per hour, kind of a thing. So, but the actual hydrogen, you can't overdose on it. But I will mention there's a safety factor. Okay, we can kind of go back to the Hindenburg in this particular case. Hydrogen has what's called a lower combustible limit. So if you have hydrogen in air that's over 4.7% hydrogen in air, it's potentially combustible. And it won't just burn like the Hindenburg did. It'll go bang. So you want to, because it's already mixed with the oxygen, whereas the Hindenburg was hydrogen bags venting into the oxygen, so it could only burn at the point where the hydrogen touched the oxygen. So the and you don't want that kind of a bang happening anyway around you. So you have to keep the percent of hydrogen under the lower explosion limit. Now, the scientific studies have shown that 2% hydrogen in your intake breath, which is what I'm inhaling right now, is the therapeutic optimal benefit. If you inhale more than 2%, you get no additional benefit. But of course, that is the optimal. So if you're inhaling 1%, you could double to 2% and get a better optimal benefit. So there's no reason to go up to that potentially combustible limit. And there is nothing in Brown's gas or even pure hydrogen that isn't supposed to already be in your body. So there's zero toxicity. And if you take too much, you just exhale any excess.
And I did quite a bit of sleuthing around on the internet, trying to find examples of people that had issues with Brown's gas from your device, from the Aqua Cure. Because, yeah, you can see it. I've got it here in my home. I've got my wife using it. I don't have my baby using it quite yet. But, yeah, seeing as I've integrated this into my family's life here, I was just a bit concerned. I was thinking just a bit about the Hindenburg the very first time I switched it on and inhaled it. But those concerns were assuaged because, yeah, of the thousands of people that have used this device, I struggled to find like anyone reporting anything disastrous that happened.
Yes. There, I've had about five different people tell me that they had explosions of the gas itself when they were smoking cigarettes as they were inhaling. So it wasn't the explosion didn't go inside them. What happened was when you're exhaling, your exhaled breath, which may have some hydrogen in it, because once your blood is saturated, any excess over 1%, like a 1% hydrogen solution, hydrogen inhalation will maintain that blood saturation. So if you're inhaling at 2%, then 1% is coming out. And so when that combines with the gas that's going in, then if when you're exhaling, if you have a potentially combustible mixture, sometimes if you've turned the machine up too much, it quickly can go into the lower explosion range. But if you get a backfire, it generally goes into the cannula and backfires to the machine. It doesn't go into your lungs because you only have a 1% or 2% mixture there. So it's non-combustible. It's an inert gas as long as you're under that. So that the people actually had the balls to say, I made this mistake and this is what happened. And there was one guy in Mexico that took the advice of a knockoff. There's a bunch of machines out there that look like the AquaCure, and they are not the AquaCure, and they're potentially dangerous for this reason, where they're doing 100% gas. They aren't turning it down to the 2% optimal for whatever the body weight of the person is, like the AquaCure does. And so this guy was inhaling instead of at 30% like he should have been, he was inhaling at 60% because the guys, the knockoff people said, oh, more is better. More is not better. More is only better for those people that are selling machines that can't be safely used. Anyway, he leaned over a candle as he was exhaling. And because he was inhaling at, I think the combination turned out to be about 7 or 8% hydrogen in his exhaled breath, it ignited and it went back up into his sinuses. And he didn't get a concussion, but they went to the hospital because they thought he might. And he did have a bloody nose from that. So do be careful to follow our recommendations and keep the hydrogen level under the, inhale at 2% hydrogen.
Right. And with the device, there's a table of what your weight is, because lung capacity varies by a person's weight. And so I set it at 25% for myself, and I set it at 20% for my wife. And by following that table, you stay 100%. You stay 100% safe with it. Tell us a little bit about your story with this device, because you've been studying Brown's gas for, is it 30 years now?
Over 40 years. And it wasn't hydrogen for health at first. It's a little tough story to tell, and people will understand why. And I'll give the condensed version here. So, I grew up on a cattle ranch. I was a mechanical genius for various reasons we won't go into, like getting a pickup truck to do 36 miles to the gallon and things like that. I started my research business in 1984, selling fuel savers. And as the fuel savers, as the fuel systems went from carbureted to fuel injection, I needed to find fuel saving systems that would work on fuel injected vehicles. And one of those happened to be Brown's gas, which got about 25% increase in fuel economy if you put a little onboard electrolyzer, which I invented called the Hyzor technology in my website. So, and it still works today. People can enhance their fuel mileage on the vehicles today. In any case, I started building larger electrolyzers so I could replace acetylene with Brown's gas, and it does a better job at 2% of the cost. But at that point, a chiropractor got in touch with me and said, I know that Brown's gas has oxygen in it, and I'm doing oxidative therapies. Can I test Brown's gas for like spot applications on people's bodies to help relieve muscle tension and things like that? And he did that, and it worked great. And in fact, he was able to adjust his wife, who he had never been able to adjust. This is a professional chiropractor and had never been able to adjust his own wife until they applied the Brown's gas, and it relaxed her enough that she was able to be adjusted. So, and his niece at that time was going to agriculture school and bubbled Brown's gas in water and drank the, sorry, I saw you drinking water, so it's just my brain. In any case.
Hydration, essential. Yeah,
exactly. It's very important. So and fed it to radishes as a project for her agriculture college, and the radishes grew four times faster than the Brown's gas without the water without the Brown's gas in it. So I by this time I had many, many thousands of customers. I've helped over 200,000 people save fuel and things like that. So I sent out an email blast saying, hey, this health aspect may be something. And in 1996, a customer got back to me where he had bubbled Brown's gas in water, put it on a cotton ball, put it in a plastic cap, and taped it to a melanoma on his forehead. And in 3 weeks' time, his skin cancer was gone. Now, this has been duplicated several times since. But at the time, I didn't believe him. I was used to using this as a combustible gas. When I was working for a living, one of the things I did was in the mines, I got my blasting certification. And we used to blow mountains apart for a living. And the loudest explosion I ever heard was a 70 PSI Brown's gas explosion I deliberately set off in a chamber to...
Probably gave you a little tinnitus.
Yeah, it was outside, so it was... It was a little bit of ringing in the ears. It was quite a surprise. I had never expected it would be that violent. So definitely we want to keep the pressures low. It's another thing we do in our AquaCure. We run pressures at about one PSI normally, 2 PSI cutoff, 3 PSI venting the gas so that the machine can never go over 3 PSI no matter what. And the machines they buy from China normally run at 15 to 20 PSI and only vent at 40 PSI. And frankly, with all my expertise, I would not want to be in the same room with one of those things operating, because a 40 PSI explosion of the Brown's gas would just rip that machine apart like a hand grenade. So again, safety. We go safety first. First, do no harm. So as I then proceeded gathering testimonials of all these kind of things that were happening just from people drinking the hydrogen-rich water, It took my customers until 2005 to convince me to bubble the Brown's gas in water and drink it myself. From 2005 to 2007, I didn't get sick. And I used to get two or three colds a winter. So I was convinced it was safe and efficacious. And so I recommended it to people. And I told them how to build a little electrolyzer that we call the AC50 is later. The ER50, a little assembly of PVC tubes and pipes and stuff, a very efficient little electrolyzer making Brown's gas, and people were bubbling in the water. They could buy the ER50 for a few hundred dollars instead of thousands of dollars for the big electrolyzers and stuff. So anyway, people started asking if we could inhale the gas. And I knew it as a combustible gas. I was using it for fuel saving, internal combustion, for torch fuel, all that kind of thing. So you could see that I was wrong. You can inhale the gas. But until December of 2015, when a customer sent me a video of a Taiwanese hydrogen bar where they were inhaling Brown's gas, like we buy a cup of coffee, they go in off the street and inhale a Brown's gas treatment. And I realized at that point about this 4.7% lower combustible limit, which I should have known right from the start, but I just wasn't thinking. I had what I call expert syndrome, and you think a certain way and you discard other thoughts. So anyway, at that point, however, my late wife was very, very sick with lupus. She couldn't even roll over in bed without assistance. She'd lost her eyesight and her hair, and I had to carry her to the toilet. I couldn't be away from her more than 20 or 30 minutes at a time. So it was a hard time in our family, I'm telling you. And I couldn't work, so we were trying various things that cost money to cure her. So by the time she died in March of 2016, we were $300,000 in debt, and my life disappeared with her. I literally, all my hopes and dreams, our family, everything that we'd planned, it was gone. So I was grieving pretty heavy. And I understand why spouses follow each other into the grave, because it just, your life disappears. Like I wasn't suicidal. My body was just shutting down, like didn't care if I lived or died. So I look over my shoulder at this ER50 that I had there that was bubbling for hydration, hydrogen-rich water. And I thought, you know what? I remember this Taiwanese video. I'm going to set this thing up so that I can inhale Brown's gas, because at this point, I really don't care if I live or die. And I videotaped myself doing that, just because I'm an inventor and record things. And if something happened, there'd be a video of my idiocy. So I inhaled for about 15 minutes that first night, and everything was good. So I continued inhaling. And within a month, some very interesting things started to happen to me. Like my psoriasis, I had white skin on my elbows, knees, and feet, started to peel off like a snake shedding its skin, so which was very disconcerting. But underneath was baby smooth skin. So I thought, okay, I can live with that. And there were several other things that happened, including my libido came back. So my libido, yes. It's been so many years now. It was 10 years ago, and I'm 67 now, so 57. So okay. I was 57 years
old.
Yeah.
That's time to make your erections great again.
Yes. So you care if you live or die if you want to have sex. Okay, let's just put it that way. And so I started dating women again. But at the same time, I put out there to my many thousands of people that it was safe to inhale. And that's all I was experimenting, because I experiment on myself first, safe to inhale. And in about 3 months' time, I started getting lots of testimonials back, because the inhalation, it gave me and lots of other people about 10 times more benefit than just drinking the hydrogen-rich water. Hydrogen-rich water is good, and for some things, it's even better than inhaling. But for overall health, the inhalation really made a difference. And we can get into some of those other differences in me in a second. But to finish off my story, I got a testimonial back that a lady with lupus symptoms had her lupus symptoms healed in 3 weeks' time.
Your heart must have just dropped for
everything about me dropped. I literally dropped to the floor and started sobbing and crying, because I feel it now, even after 10 years. Because I realized that I had Brown's gas in my own shop since 1986. I had been told about it by the universe, I call it God, in 1996 specifically, not even including the chiropractor Lord Jacob and his niece. And all these customers had been telling me for decades about the health benefits that they were getting. I hadn't even thought, with all the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we were spending, to have my wife inhale the Brown's gas. So finally,
maybe this is a, have have you thought about why that, what, perhaps that's your mind. What the brilliant focus that you have that's allowed you to invent and create the things that you have also gave you horse blinders from trying the option that was right in front of you.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's like I misinformed people about the inhalation for a decade. I just didn't think it because I was used to it being a combustible gas. So we get to the to get off the floor and to honor my late wife's sacrifice, accidental in this case, and to honor my conduit with God, the messenger. I'm the messenger telling people about this amazing thing. I dedicated my life right there on the floor to helping other people not go through that pain, that physical pain, emotional pain, financial pain of ill health. Wherever I can, I'm trying to help people be healthy. That's what I do. That's what I've been doing for the last 10 years.
In my intro, I borrowed from you some, alluding to hydrogen as the molecule closest to God. Because you mentioned in one of your presentations that you did at a conference that hydrogen seems to spontaneously appear and disappear in space. Did I get that right?
Yes, that's correct. It's the number one on the periodic table. And one thing that we just go on from that is that Brown's gas, being made mostly of hydrogen and has this energetic form we call electrically expanded water, we can get into that in a minute, has a transmutation effect. And I should have grabbed the bottles that I usually have during a demonstration, but I have this bottle that had what we call new water in it, which is if you burn the Brown's gas, the condensation is water, but it's deuterium depleted water, and it's also new water. It's water with no memory in it. And this bottle had that was full of new water and was set next to a bottle of a mineral mixture that it had 50 different minerals in it that you take an ounce a day to get your minerals that you're supposed to get. And the sunlight was shining through the minerals and imprinting the information on the new water, and the new water started to form sediment. So this bottle, it was half a liter about, formed 10 ounces of a white sediment that when they tested it had all 50 of those nutrients, those minerals in it. So water, which was actually H2O, okay, hydrogen and oxygen, nothing else, transmuted into 50 different minerals. And this is happening. There's a biological explanation, like if chickens don't get enough calcium in their diet, they will actually transmute some of their nutrition into calcium to make eggshells, for example. So this biological transmutation is real. And this actual transmutation, I have other examples as well, is real. And it comes from hydrogen. As hydrogen devolves, becomes heavier, it loses energy, and it becomes these heavier and heavier elements that make up our universe.
So hydrogen has an inherent transmutation property.
Yes.
Okay. That is mind-blowing. Yeah, so let's talk about water some more. So, okay, something I am very curious about is what you just mentioned, new water and water memory. And this is something that I'm actually very excited about experimenting with, because I have for years used a device that takes homeopathic frequencies and it downloads homeopathic frequencies from all sorts of different things. I've tried downloading the homeopathic frequencies of LSD, for example, into drinking water, and then I would do meditation. Or it was a couple of years back, I took a vacation with my wife to the beautiful Balkan Mountains, and there was a shooting star show. And so I downloaded, I think, psilocybin into a non-alcoholic beer and then just drank those and watched the blazing cosmos above us. And so I'm kind of curious about trying to use the aquacure to generate more new water and then using it in combination with this other device, which is called a infopathy device. I'll link to that along with everything else that we're talking about here in the show notes for this. But, and you have alluded to this in a couple of your other interviews, but I know this is still kind of like, this is like the frontier of your own research, I believe, with the water memory. So is this something that people can do now?
Absolutely. And I have a document that if people email me and ask me for it, I can send it to them. I'm not a frequency for health expert, but I am an electronics expert and various things. So I have put onto the AquaCure so that people can adjust the frequency to optimize the gas output by putting that energy, knowledge, whatever it happens to be, and into it, that the frequencies, so that and people are reporting that if they have a particular ailment and they download the frequency that helps that ailment and program it into the Brown's gas machine, into the AquaCure, that it does indeed make a huge boost in what the Brown's gas does, plus this other biological information that's being read. So I'm not the expert.
There's a little bit of an anecdote to add with that. We are really big fans of the Rife frequencies here because I have a PMF device that I can calibrate to different Rife frequencies. And I found pretty consistently that, like my wife was having a dental issue that she was really suffering from. And so we got a Rife frequency for, I forget what the frequency was, but we got a Rife frequency and we used it topically with a PMF device. And it just outperformed all the painkilling drugs that the dentist had prescribed. And so right now, my AquaCure is set to 432. And people who have studied frequency some will know that I think 432, people call it like God's frequency or something like that. It's the frequency that tends to be most copacetic to human thriving. If you listen to music which has been modulated at 432, you'll feel a lot more chill. What is the other? Then there's the devil's frequency, which is like the frequency that mainstream like music tends to be engineered at for some nefarious reason. So that's fascinating. So you could change the frequency that the AquaCure is outputting to a Rife frequency corresponding to some kind of medical issue.
Exactly.
Ah, yes. Okay. So let's talk about some more about water. So what is the difference? So I'm going to get into my biohacker review here shortly, but what is the difference between the water that this outputs that you can drink and the molecular hydrogen tablets that people will have seen for sale at rather high prices?
Yes. And eventually they end up costing more than the AquaCure if you continue on it. The nice thing about the AquaCure is you've got all four healing modalities. And there's two more when you get into the DDW and the new water. But just with the normal four, if you have a hydrogen tablet, it will infuse a lot of hydrogen into the water. You do need to be careful because those actually may have magnesium oxide that is not healthful. So, and you only get your hydrogen-rich water. There's a lot of bottles out there that are doing pure hydrogen, and they'll make a very concentrated mixture of hydrogen in the water. But inhaling the gas for 12 seconds gives you as much hydrogen in your blood as drinking a liter of that hydrogen-rich water. So the Brown's gas machine is much more effective. It gives you your hydrogen and oxygen in the water, but it also gives you electrically expanded water. And just very quickly, that is a form of water, essentially water that is absorbed electrons until it's again being a gaseous form of water that is not water vapor or steam. So technically, it's a negatively charged, cold plasma form of water. So you've got your solid, which is ice, your liquid, which is water, your gas, which is water vapor or steam, and this plasma form of water that we call electrically expanded water. And that has bioavailable electrons in it. So that's something you don't get when you drink just regular hydrogen-rich water that's made with pure hydrogen. So those bioavailable electrons make the Brown's gas about 30% more therapeutically efficacious or active than just pure hydrogen. So in this particular case, as I explained before, you need your nutrition, which is the hydrogen, but also energy. And these bioavailable electrons are direct energy that the body can directly absorb, bypassing all the regular energy generation systems. Most people that are sick have used up their energy reserves, and their energy generation systems have become compromised. So by putting the energy directly into the body, you start an upward healing cycle instead of your downward cycle that you had been in. So this is what the Brown's gas, why it's different and why it's more effective. And then I can get into explaining about EZ gel. Do you have time for that?
Yeah. So that's like the Gerald Pollack fourth state of water, which is the kind of gel that is, it's the kind of water that's inside of our cells that maintains cellular integrity.
Yes. So there's three medical mysteries, okay, that the doctors won't tell you. The first one is your heart does not pump enough pressure to push the blood through all of your thousands of miles of capillaries. It's about one PSI. Go figure it out. Is it, they say 120 over 80 kind of thing or whatever it happens to be. But that's inches of mercury and stuff. It's actually only one PSI. Okay. So the, or inches of water. I forget exactly. But if you do the math, it comes out to one PSI. Your heart pumping at one PSI won't pump through those thousands of miles of capillaries. The second one is, how come the red blood cells, which are twice the size of a capillary, don't just stop it up like a cork? Why does it form into a sausage and slide through? And the third thing is, hydrodynamically speaking, fluids take the path of least resistance. So how is it that the extremities, to the tip of my pointy head, to the tips of my fingers, to the tips of my toes, all get even blood flow? Those three medical mysteries are solved by Gerald Pollack. He was a professor at the University of Washington. EZ gel. And I call it EZ gel instead of EZ water. He wrote a book called The Fourth State of Water, which was actually a bit of a misnomer. The EZ gel is H3O2 negative. It's not H2O. So it isn't water and it's a gel. But when pure water hit or even impure water, when water hits a hydrophilic surface, hydrophilic means water loving, it spontaneously forms this gel, this EZ gel. And that is absolutely vital for life. He should be getting a Nobel Peace Prize for this. And we'll get into why Brown's gas is important in combination in just a second. But this three medical mysteries are solved with the EZ gel. First of all, EZ gel is a gel. It's slippery. And secondly, it's got a negative charge. And third, it forms on all hydrophilic surfaces. Your red blood cells are hydrophilic. Your inside of your capillaries are hydrophilic. So when you coat the inside of the capillaries and the red blood cell, first it's slippery, but it's also got a negative charge, like charges repel. So almost frictionless, the red blood cells can go through the capillaries. But he discovered an additional thing, not just this gel. He discovered that if you have a tube small enough as a capillary, it will start flowing fluid spontaneously. And this is mind-blowing for all water-based life forms on the planet. It means that the heart just has to get the blood to the capillary, and the capillary actually does the pumping, which is why you can get blood flow to your extremities. So these three medical mysteries are solved by that, but also a lot of life mysteries are solved because these capillaries, which flow like that, are why a tree can grow over 32 feet high, can grow 150 feet high, because from the water from the roots is pulled upward against gravity with these capillaries that are in the cadmium layer of the trunk of the tree. And so all fish, all birds, all reptiles, every type of water-based life form on the planet is involved with these capillaries, and the EZ gel is essential. It pumps up the cells. It's part of all the processes that are going on, and it has these negative charge. So we get to where Brown's gas affects an EZ gel. I was speaking at a conference in Bad Soden, Germany in 2019, and Professor Pollack was in the front row. And during the question and answer period, he stood up and said, "I know, George, when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And so tell me, what does Brown's gas do to EZ gel?" And I said, "I don't know. Let's find out." So during the pandemic time, because this was past 2019 then, I helped the University of Washington experiment with the Brown's gas. And we discovered that if you have water, by the EZ, it stands for exclusion zone, by the way. Okay. And so this zone excludes all impurities. It becomes its own little matrix. So in any case, when you put pure oxygen in the water, the EZ gel expands just a teeny little bit. They're looking at it with a electron microscope. When you put the hydrogen, pure hydrogen in the water, nothing really happens. When you put Brown's gas in the water, the minimum expansion was 300%.
That's remarkable.
Okay. And in my experiments here, I have a jar that I've been bubbling Brown's gas in for years, and the gel layer has expanded to the point where you can see it with the naked eye. Okay. You don't even need a microscope to see it anymore. But in any case,
in
our body.
Can you get me a photo of that and I can include it in the show notes?
Yes, absolutely. So you can see why Brown's gas really helps the body in various ways, that being one of them with the EZ gel.
Does it affect alkalinity?
Yes, but not directly. And it's kind of an interesting thing that happens. There's something called the ORP, oxygen reduction potential, and it's measured with little micro sensors in a TDS meter or something like that, total dissolved solids. But in any case, this TDS measure is showing the actual electrons or charge that's in the water, so a difference in charge. It actually doesn't measure the actual impurities in the water, only the ionizable particles. And it turns out if you put the Brown's gas, bubble it in water, you'll get a greater charge, which leads to a difference in pH. By the way, these same meters read pH. And that's why it reminded me of this particular thing. You'll get a better, more of a charge than it really shows in there, because you're actually putting electrons into the water and the TDS meter is reading those electrons as well. But the pH only rises just a little bit. Even just putting pure hydrogen in water doesn't change the pH at all, but the Brown's gas will cause the pH to rise just a little bit. Now, I will say that there were electrolyzers designed, I call them flow-through electrolyzers, where the water flows through the electrolyzers, not just a batch of water in the electrolyzer. And those were made for over 40 years, Kangen machines, that sort of thing. And they were, so these, what they call ionizers, would split the water stream into high pH and low pH. And the high pH water was attributed to be healthy, and the low pH was not so healthy. So the and it's true, it was, but it wasn't because of the pH. It was entirely because of the hydrogen, because the electrolyzer on the cathode side generates hydrogen and on the anode side generates oxygen. And so the ionizer was splitting the water streams into this negative and positive side, and the hydrogen was going out with the high pH water, and the oxygen was going out with the low pH water. So it was the hydrogen in the water. In 2007, there was a scientific study that proved this to be so, where they took the hydrogen out of the water and the health benefits disappeared. They left the hydrogen in, took the pH, neutralized the pH, and the health benefits were maintained. It was a fairly big study on that particular aspect of it. And from 2007, the ionizer companies started to change their entire marketing thing, where it wasn't so much the pH anymore. They're talking about the hydrogen in their water.
You've mentioned a couple of places that this creates, I think, monoatomic hydrogen and monoatomic oxygen. Does that mean that it's putting hydrogen into superposition?
I don't know what it puts it into, but the monatomic hydrogen and oxygen is not supposed to exist, scientifically speaking. The hydrogen should immediately find another hydrogen or another molecule, and the oxygen as well. They're not stable in the monatomic form. However, when you do the spectrographic analysis of Brown's gas, you see there is a small portion of it that is H and a small portion that is O. Okay, it is not H2 or O2. And the closest reason we can think of it that it actually exists is something Yule Brown, because Brown's gas is named after Yule Brown. He called it a fluid crystal. He called the Brown's gas a fluid crystal. So there's an organization or a matrix. And so the monatomic elements seem to be, atoms seem to be held in the matrix. That's the only thing I can explain.
Okay. So people are going to be curious about what the science is on this. And that was my first area of curiosity. So I headed over to PubMed. And okay, if you just search for Brown's gas, you don't find much on PubMed. But what I searched for was hydrogen, oxygen, oxyhydrogen, HHO gas, and Brown's gas. And I cross-referenced by human clinical trials. And I'll give a quick rundown of some of the results that popped out at me. Okay, there was a single-blind randomized trial on sleep. And they found that it improved sleep after 7 days, and that was inhalation. So, okay, whenever studies refer to hydrogen, oxygen, inhalation, that's Brown's gas, right?
No, not necessarily. It could be oxyhydrogen. Because if you mix two parts hydrogen to one part oxygen, you don't get the electrically expanded water. You just have oxyhydrogen. And so the everything that hydrogen can do, Brown's gas can do as well. So you can attribute it to that. It helps the sleep. In fact, the first time I inhaled at 15 minutes at about 6:30 in the evening, I didn't sleep at all that night. My mind was bright and alert all night, and I kept thinking I was going to fall asleep anytime because I'm used to falling asleep easily wherever I fall asleep. So I started inhaling in the mornings so I could sleep at night. And then once my body got used to it, I could inhale anytime and during sleep, and it doesn't bother me at all. So there is what I call weirdness. When people are starting to inhale, they may see some of these things that aren't necessarily a negative side effect, but are just kind of their body getting used to it. My current wife, when she first inhaled about 15 minutes at about 6:30 at night, had the best night's sleep she could remember from that first inhalation. So in my own household, it was exactly opposites. But of course, now I can sleep with it. It's no big deal. But while you're first getting used to it, so that's something that people need to remember as well.
Okay, so I can tell about my experiences with this. And what I'll do, because we're actually kind of running out of time here, is some of the PubMed studies and links. I'm going to put those on the show notes page, because I found science related to Alzheimer's, kidney disease, and COVID. And of course, people are saying, well, COVID's gone. It's not a problem anymore. But just wait. Pfizer made $40 billion off of the last plandemic. They are surely planning another one.
In China, they used Brown's gas for COVID, and they were back at work in 2 months, not 2 years like we did in America, and I think Europe as well.
So I'll put that science on the show notes page, because people should investigate PubMed, really for any health investment or any supplement that you're considering taking. Like, spend at least 30 minutes on PubMed before you press the buy now buttons. But I'll tell people about my experiences with it. I have just about 2.5 weeks experience with it now, because it, fortunately, we were able to get it through customs here in Europe. Thanks to the the clever marking, the clever declaration. You have figured out how to declare things correctly to get these devices wherever they need to go in the world. So I just got mine about 2.5 weeks ago, and I noticed, first of all, that it has kind of a subtle cognitive enhancement effect, and I have used almost all of the cognitive enhancers. I've used over 200 different smart drugs, and this one had, okay, wasn't a major motivational or energizing effect, but for me, it's more of a clarifying effect. I noticed that my thoughts become real clear on it, and the first time you try it, it doesn't smell or taste like anything. For some reason, I thought it might taste like something, but it doesn't smell or taste like anything, which is really pleasant because eventually you'd get sick of the way it smelled. And so I noticed that it kind of pepped me up. Although I think that might be one of those early onset kind of effects, that the first couple times you try it, you'll feel a little bit pepped up by it. But then afterwards, it's just kind of a clarifying effect. If I was going to compare it to a smart drug, I would say it's like the peptides C-Max or Solank. But I have noticed that it helps in the mid-afternoon when I kind of hit that downward slump in my ultradian rhythm in the mid-afternoon when I just don't have that much energy. I'll do 20 minutes of inhalation, and then I like really have everything that I need to power through the rest of the day. And then, okay, I tried drinking it several times now, and on one day, I was a bit sleep deprived. I'm a newish dad, so yeah, sleep deprivation is a thing over here. And I found that the inhaling helped a bit with the sleep deprivation, but I had read, okay, I'd interviewed a guy named Dr. Glad recently on the podcast who wrote a book about longevity, and he was talking about molecular hydrogen, some study with molecular hydrogen, comparing that to coffee in sleep-deprived people, and they were saying that molecular hydrogen water had about the same effect as caffeine. And I did notice that after I had drank, okay, I think maybe 3 large glasses of the water that it produced, that my, sleep deprivation really wasn't that much of an issue. But my ongoing experimentation, I am going to look at how it's affecting my different biomarkers. I did a blood panel before I started using it. And okay, I discovered that I'm overall in pretty good health, but my homocysteine is a bit high. And I think that's a result of, I had gotten in the habit of using nicotine too much, because nicotine is this awesome smart drug for me. I don't smoke, don't vape. I use it in like a USP solution, but nicotine has this effect on the vascular system that boosts homocysteine. So I cut my nicotine usage back to one day a week. And then I surmise that the hydrogen is going to help with that homocysteine number. And then my testosterone was on the lower healthy range, the official lower healthy range, which means like not good. And that has, I'm sure, something to do with being a new dad with sleep just not having been great this year. So I'm going to get those biomarkers done again in, I think, about 3 months. And yeah, I'm really excited to see how those markers might move as a result of using this every day. So as biohackers, what we look for, evidence-wise, is we look for an alignment between scientific evidence and anecdotal evidence. If we hear about some fantastic supplement or fantastic product, before we press the buy buttons, we want to look for the clinical evidence that's for it. But that's actually not really enough, because a lot of times clinical evidence can kind of be, or evidence from studies can be misleading. And so we also look at the anecdotal side of evidence. And I think in this podcast, we've done a pretty decent job of describing the theory and the scientific evidence. And I'm going to have more of those PubMed links on the cert, on the page for this. But what's really impressive about the AquaCure is the testimonials, the health transformation stories that come out of it. And I gather that this thing has actually saved and transformed quite a few lives. But right now, we don't actually have time to delve into all of that. So I'm going to link to and direct people over to the Facebook group for the AquaCure, because there's 2,000 members there, right?
I haven't looked recently, but that sounds about right.
Okay. And yeah, people are reporting like pretty mind-blowing kind of things resulting from this. Maybe you can describe just one. You could describe the case of Jay Lee to us.
Yes. Jay Lee is one of the dramatic ones. And obviously, results will vary. And we're not MDs, so we're not prescribing. So Jay Lee, a California woman, I think she was 26 years old at the time, was diagnosed with a very severe form, malignant form of cancer that originally was breast cancer and had metastasized through to her spine. So her spine was growing cancer bone by the time that she was diagnosed. And I can't pronounce the name of the cancer. She does a good job of that in her testimonial. But at first, she said she wanted to live, and she had met an Australian man who was then her fiance, and his father got a hold of an affiliate that we have in Australia named Dave, who runs the My Brown's Gas Hydrogen Journey Facebook page, and also rents out electrolyte AquaCures. And he rented his own personal AquaCure, because all his rentals were out, to the father, who gave it to Jay Lee, and Jay Lee started to use it because she was introduced to it while she stayed at the Center for New Medicine in Irvine, California, and they're using AquaCures to help cancer patients. So she got her own rental. The cancer doctor, the oncologist that she had, wanted her to do radical surgery that would have left her paralyzed, and chemo and radiation. And she said no to everything except a very minor surgery. And the doctor said, you're saying no, you might as well go on the top of a 10-story building, and I quote, and jump off, because you have less than 2 weeks to live. This guy was certainly not a good bedside manner doctor, and I found oncologists to be that way. And so Jay Lee had the fortitude to say no still and go totally natural. She changed all her clothes detergent, everything about her body. She did grounding. She did everything. And the only machine that she used was the AquaCure to help herself get well. And in 3 months' time, so obviously she survived more than the 2 weeks, she bought her own AquaCure and gave Dave back his machine. And in 1 year later, 1 year, 1 year from one of the four worst examples of this particular type of cancer in the world, 1 year later, she was 100% cancer-free. And you can imagine she have a video of her on her Instagram account of her. She called it ugly crying, where she's holding up her papers that prove that she's cancer free. And since then, she's gotten married. She has a life. It's just beautiful.
To the Australia guy. She got married to the Australian.
Yes. To the Australian guy. Yes.
Okay. Good. 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 Yeah. She should get married to him after he saved her.
Yes.
I would like that Instagram post, and I'm going to embed that in the show notes for this. And then in the private podcast that we're planning on doing, I want to get some more into some of the anecdotal evidence, because I know there's a pretty wide range of, I imagine most of the people using this are probably people that they ran into some kind of severe health problem, and that's what galvanized them to get the AquaCure.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And it appears, of course, the scientific studies are showing this. It seems like every scientific study, it proves efficacious, and other things heal. Like the side effects are all healing things. There's no negative side effects. We didn't even get into the real biohacking where we have longevity, because they're showing a 30-50% life extension in the rodent studies, and because rodents are short lived, so they could do that. And I have regressed in my biological age. It seems at least 20 years, because I look better now than I did when I was before I started inhaling, and also the biohacking for athletes. One chiropractor runs marathons, and every marathon he beats his own time. He just keeps getting faster and faster. And we have a testimonial from a hockey player, a professional hockey player, that is, he says on the ice, he's stronger, faster. He can think better with the puck. It just raises cognitive ability. I inhale when I'm at my computer, and I inhale for at least 8 hours a day because I sit at my computer too dang much. And if I'm not inhaling, in a couple hours, I start to get a little drowsy and stuff like that. If I put the cannulas on, I just go all day. I say, look at the clock. How did it get to be 5 o'clock? Which is the cutoff time, but my wife has set. I don't work till 8:30 at night anymore, and I don't get up at 3:30 in the morning to start working, which is what I was doing in the early years, because I just wanted to help people, and I didn't seem to need as much sleep when I was inhaling the Brown's gas. But she said, you're just a warm spot in the bed. I never see you. You get up before I get up and go to bed after I go to bed. So I like that she wants to spend time with me. She's a wonder in my life. So we've cut down the hours.
And there's some effects on stem cells, correct?
Exactly. And we didn't get into all of that, which when my body was healing, my organs healed. Like I had a heart murmur, which is a weak heart valve, which I seem to be genetically predisposed to because my grandfather died of his weak heart valve symptoms from that. But another organ on your body is your skin. And all the scars on my skin, I used to have a scar here about an inch, half an inch square, about a centimeter square, that completely healed. And once I saw that was gone, I looked on my body and checked my scars. They were virtually all gone. And it turns out they healed in reverse order of when I got them. My most recent scars healed first, and the ones I got when I was a child healed last, interestingly enough. So anyway,
Benjamin Button effect going on there.
So the stem cells are important in that. And so it took those patches of skin away, because normally if you don't have enough stem cells, you'll just scar. Your skin will make a patch. But it took those patches away and actually made skin. It takes a lot of different kinds of cells to make skin. So my stem cells were reactivated. So we have a 1-year satisfaction guarantee, so people can try it for themselves. Their investment is safe, and if it doesn't work for them, which, by the way, only 1 in 1,000 people send it back because they say it didn't work for them. It's
okay,
it's pretty
bad.
Amazing. Yeah.
And yeah, so this device, it costs about as much as a really crappy car, but it has the, what is the warranty? What is the warranty period on it?
Yes, the warranty is a lifetime warranty, meaning that as long as the person owns it, if something is a manufacturer error, we will fix it. We'll pay the shipping, we'll pay the labor, we'll pay the parts, we'll make sure you get your machine back at no additional cost to you.
And something that I appreciate about this is I think that the AquaCure, correct me if I'm wrong, 0 bytes of code of software running in it.
I think that would be right. The timer switch is electronic, so it might have some sort of software, but it's probably more hardware related inside there. But yeah, that would be the only, there's no programming or anything like that other than the frequency meter. You can program in the frequency as well. Yeah. So but the actual electrolyzer making the Brown's gas is absolutely solid state. There's no straight electricity, no electronics at all.
I really like products that you can just plug them in and they work. I have some significant objections to the everything as a service business model where and I have done like some video blogs ranting and raving against biohacking products that run on proprietary software, because these products usually cost like several hundred dollars, and you do get a cool app on your phone that sometimes provides you with cool information, right? Some of these are very cool products, but people have to realize that if they're getting a health product that runs on software, unless that company is open sourcing that software, then that device just turns into a paperweight the minute that monthly subscription payment doesn't get paid, or if that company goes out of business, then that code is going to become deprecated code, and that device might not work anymore. So yeah, I'm a really big fan of products that you can just plug them in and they work. I have some red light therapy devices. I have one red light therapy device that I think is 8 years old now, and it still works. It still works great. It's something that I credit for the good health that my family is in. So yeah, I think that I'd really encourage people to like delve deeper into the research on the AquaCure. And we're going to be doing that in subsequent conversations, but delve deeper into that and consider that as an investment, for it has a lifetime warranty. So it could serve you and your family for a very long time. And what I will do is, if people are listening to this and they purchase an AquaCure, if they hear about it from me, I would like for them to drop me an email at consultations@limitlessmindset.com. And if people make that investment, that would be a person that I'd like to do a free consultation with, because when there's people in my audience that are like making significant investments into their health via my recommendations, yeah, I want to talk to them. And a lot of times I can give them some extra like piece to their biohacking puzzle, something that they might not have heard of on Google or ChatGPT. And those conversations are like, they're one of my very favorite parts of my job. And so, yeah, so I hope that some people will take advantage of that. And then, George, what are the options if people are really interested in trying this, but they don't quite have a crappy car budget available immediately to try it?
Well, we have financing on the website through a firm, and some people in America, in United States, can qualify for the PayPal financing. And of course, a lot of people just use credit cards, so it's kind of self-financed. But quite frankly, I'm trying to help as many people as possible, so I have a layaway policy as well. If you go to the website and you purchase using the pay by check option, you can arrange a payment plan with me. And once it's paid off, then I send it to you. But you can make payments until your order is paid off.
Okay. And you're going to be with the device at some conferences this year, right?
Yes. I have one coming up in New York City, the Biohacking Expo. And I'll be there. You just look it up online, Biohacking Expo New York. And
we'll
I'll be there in booth 33, according to them.
Really? It gave you 33. That divine number.
It's good. And I'll also be at the Miami Health event. We'll have to link to that as well in September. So just coming up here in June, toward the end of June, is the biohacking in New York. And then in September, I'll be in Miami. I also usually go to the Tesla Tech in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It'll be in August this year. And that's way more than I usually do, get out and travel, because I'm just so busy here. It takes a lot to get out and travel around, and then I'm not here getting other things done.
Okay. Yeah, George, I wanted to have a serious talk with you about your workaholism, but that will have to wait for the secret podcast that we are planning.
You and my wife, she likes to have that serious talk as well.
Jonathan from the future here, my past, your present. I've got a little more to add to this one. So this is kind of a foundational piece of content on the AquaCure. Given its price and really the mind-blowing potential that it has, looking at the evidence, both that anecdotal evidence and the scientific evidence for hydrogen as healing modality, it deserves more than just one podcast, and it's going to get it. I promised a secret podcast with George, and that is not going to go out on my public channels for reasons that will be obvious to you when you listen to it. To get that, I'm going to have a link to get onto George's newsletter for Eagle Research. And at this point, I've figured out how to integrate the AquaCure into my biohacker daily rhythm of things that happen. I try to do 3 sessions a day with it. So I'll start my mornings with 20 minutes of inhalation. This is usually when I sit down in the mornings, before I even start work. I try to do about 20 minutes of reading or just thinking about the day ahead. And that subtle clarifying effect that it has is just what I need at the beginning of the day. And then about 3 hours into my workday, I typically take a break from my standing desk. And this is when I will do my super memo flashcards for the day. I might do mnemonics, a short gratitude session, or some breath work. And 20 minutes with AquaCure fits in really well there. And then about an hour after lunch, during the early to mid afternoon dip in my ultradian energy rhythm, I'll do another 20-minute session. And as you can see, the device is right there behind me. It's pretty easy to just put the cannulas in and use it while working here. And then after my wife has done her inhalation session in the mid-afternoon, I'll pour out some of the hydrogen-rich water and will drink it. And I find that water also, that has a subtle stimulatory effect. I learned to not do that at dinner time because it would kind of mess with me being able to get to sleep. Please do double check that you are subscribed to this channel, as this is where I'm going to be reporting back on more of my experimentation and results with the AquaCure. I'm going to report back on my blood work after using it for a few more months. I'm going to report back on using the spot applicator. I'm going to use it on my ears and see what effect that has on my mild tinnitus. And then I'm going to use the goggles that came with it and pipe the Brown's gas in and see what effect that has on my famously crappy eyes. And looking at the spot applicator, I said to myself, my balls could fit in this. So yes, I'm going to do some experimentation with giving my balls 20 minutes of Brown's gas and see if that has any interesting effects on testosterone, sexual function. Yeah, as you guys know, I'm a bit of an oversharer in that department. Researching the AquaCure, I came across these anecdotal cases of, it sounds like it, curing cancer. And I immediately thought, before I even had received the thing, I want to find someone locally here, like someone in my neighborhood who has cancer, and then invite them to come over and use my device for 30 minutes a day and see what happens. And I told my wife about this, and voice of reason, she said, Jonathan, in this country, if you cure someone's cancer with that thing, they're going to talk about it to a lot of people, and then you're going to have problems. We are going to have problems. You can only invite someone over to our home to use this thing if we really trust them to not talk about it, if it works. And bummer, right? But yeah, number one priority is my family's safety. So I haven't found that person yet. Maybe I will. And then finally, in this podcast, me and George touched on the topic of water memory, which is really interesting to me. And I do have the IC pad for downloading homeopathic infaceuticals into water, but it broke recently. So yeah, stay tuned for more on that front. To reiterate the point that I made earlier in the podcast, if you crunch the numbers, your $50 a month health supplements will start to look like a pretty crappy value in comparison to health products that you buy once, you own them, and they serve your health for years, or in the case of the AquaCure, decades, potentially. As I mentioned at the beginning, Eagle Research is the exclusive sponsor of this episode. And here's why I work this way. I really value your time and attention, and I'd be wasting it by stuffing a bunch of unrelated ads into this interview. I'm a big believer in contextually relevant marketing. I only want to sell you what you actually want and tune in to hear about. You elected to listen to this because you wanted to hear about hydrogen for health, not VPNs, mobile games, of fancy mattresses, random supplements, or overpriced t-shirts. I deemed this a higher integrity business model because it allows us to more thoroughly vet our guests and their brands to keep the show quality high. And we avoid the ethical hazards that come with the kinds of affiliate offers common in the podcasting space. I'm not going to be misleading my audience into signing up for a predatory online therapy platform. You can just guess which one I'm talking about. So please check my record. I didn't pitch my audience sure to crash in value altcoins in the late 2010s. I didn't pitch my audience an overpriced NFT community in the early 2020s. And today I'm not pitching a four-figure biohacking / life coaching certification program. I don't think those are a real good investment. And tomorrow I won't be hawking whatever scammy, chammy offer is making influencers rich, because it takes years to build trust and just one bad call to demolish it. While I'm not a doctor or licensed medical professional, I take very seriously the safeguarding of expertise and reputation that I've built over the past nearly 15 years that I've been working on Limitless. If you appreciate that I don't waste your time with distracting, interruptive mid-roll ads, please vote with your attention. Maybe unsubscribe to some of those podcasts that do that, because time is precious. That's why I've got an hourglass back there behind me. Go check out AquaCure Life and let them know you appreciate their sponsorship of a cleaner, higher integrity business model. And then, just for fun, to the end of this one, I'm going to append a song that I made. And I had mentioned earlier in the interview that I got drawn down a rabbit hole of looking at photos of Zeppelins, because Zeppelins are just, were just such a mind-blowing technology that existed that doesn't anymore. So I made a silly AI song about hydrogen and Zeppelins. Yeah, brought to you by the sorcery of generative AI. And yes, I know, AI music is already cringe, right? But frankly, I make these songs just because it's fun for me. It just makes the bearish editing process more fun for me. So hopefully that song leaves a little bit of pep in your step, sway in your hips. I'm Jonathan Roseland with Limitless, looking forward to a continued conversation with you.
Out of the quantum void, the firstborn was made. A single lone proton where the ether fields played. Slipping through steel cages, defying their odds. They whispered in secret, it's closest to God. Was Imran der Physik im Dunkeln verschwindet. Floating giants of silver, defying the air. But the shadows of his
truth this time. Tell me the truth this time. The Zeppelin masters took flight in the storm, while Tesla drew lightning to manifest form. A death ray or sabotage hidden in twine, or rocket fuel paint on a Nazi design. Das fliegende Ungeheuer brennt am Himmel. They told us it's dangerous, told us to fear the simplest element, crystal and clear. While corporate monoliths locked up the grid to bury the physics of what the gas did. Die Wahrheit bleibt tief im Vakuum verborgen. Floating giants of silver defying the air, but the shadows of history are waiting out there. The propellants to spark or a hidden design. What really happened to the Hindenburg? Tell me the truth this time. Tell me the truth this time. Now independent inventors are breaking the mold with electron-rich water and truths left untold. The fourth state of matter, the phantom unleashed to heal up the biome and conquer the beast. Der Geist in der Maschine erwacht endlich. Floating giants of silver defying the air, but the shadows of history are waiting out there. The propellants, the spark, or a hidden design. What really happened to the Hindenburg? Tell me the truth this time.
You listened all the way to the end of an AI song about Zeppelins, so I'll beguile you further. Jonathan's new band on Amazon novel about biohacking and philosophy features an eyes wide shut masquerade of transhumanist elites in Switzerland. On board the observation deck of a futuristic Zeppelin floating above sun, while the night sky burns green during a solar maximum. Read Hourglass and edify yourself at limitlessmindset.com.